But it's lovely to see such a
Terrific crowd. I can see, well, I can't now, but I ca could see people from different parts of Canada. I can see Archbishop Foley from the States. There are people from Germany, from Spain, from Portugal, from Australia, I've seen, and from all parts. To have some greetings that have been very generously sent to us for the launch, or rather the committee. And that, what does that mean? Well, it means that there is a subtle shift from the that were linked through me to my diocesan bishop, who will be preaching to us later, Bishop Charlie Masters and the Anglican Network in Canada, and through them to Arch. And then,
Andy, you've been going on mute, and
oh,
we didn't hear what you just said.
I must have, yes, forgive me. So I'm not quite sure how far I got before.
We've lost you again, Andy.
Thank you. Keep reminding me. So we are changing the nature of the relationship.
Hi, Ali. Is that, are you
Changing
muted?
the nature of the relationship from our link through me to the Canadians in the Anglican Network in Canada, and then to Archbishop Foley in the ACNA. And we are changing that and having a local leadership of the Anglican Convocation in Europe as part of the Anglican Network in Europe, and through that to be directly accountable to the same person, Archbishop Foley Beach, but in his capacity as chairman of the GAFCON Primates Council. But rather than that I take up more time, we're now going to have some greetings that are going to be played to us. There are quite a few of them, and you will notice that one or two are struggling with the acronyms that you probably are struggling with as well, the different names that there are banded around. But I promise you, this was all designed in support of ACE, the Anglican Convocation in Europe. So let me hand over to Jack, who's very kindly helping us host this evening.
Hello, everyone at the ACE Commissioning. It's Peter Jensen speaking from Sydney, Australia, and I want to say how proud I am of you, how proud I am of your courage. And I want to challenge you always to show forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in word and in deed, and in the years to come, always be faithful to his word as you are now. God bless you all. I wish I was with you for this important occasion. And God bless my friend, Bishop Andy Lyons.
I'm Bishop Elias Chakupewo, Bishop of the Anglican Diocese of Tabora. It is my great joy to have this wonderful time to bring you greetings. I was invited by Bishop Andy Lyons to send greetings, particularly on the 22nd of February, when your network will be commissioned. I'm very happy that Andy Lyons is the bishop of the network. I knew Andy Lyons for many years. He is a such godly man who worked with the missionary agency for many years. He was the general secretary of Crosslinks. And something important to know, Crosslinks was Bible Churchmen Society before it was changed to Crosslinks, which means the Crosslinks was built on the foundation of the Bible and the Bible alone. Andy Lyons, being the bishop of the network, I'm sure the network will be an instrument for the gospel and for the Bible. We are very happy that on 22nd, your network will be commissioned. I will not be there, unfortunately, but other bishops from Canada and from the United States, they may participate either online or physically. However, I'm very happy that through our prayers, churches in Europe and in England will continue to flourish and to prosper because they believe and trust in the word of God. You are commissioning your network during this time of which there are many complications in the world. I wish you good luck. I wish you God's blessings as you celebrate at such a wonderful time. May God bless you and enjoy your day. Amen. Thank you.
Greetings from Northwest Australia, land of sunshine and warmth. We are very encouraged as you take this next step in maintaining a consolidated gospel witness across Europe. The call to proclaim the gospel faithfully to the nations in obedience to the Lord's commission remains our vital and strategic task. May God bless and keep you in this gospel partnership, embracing all who desire to see men, women and children saved for eternity through Jesus. You are in our thoughts and prayers. The Lord be with you.
As chairman of GAFCON UK, I'm really pleased to affirm and celebrate the formation of the Anglican Convocation in Europe. Since you're overseen by GAFCON, we're committed to ensuring that you continue to feel part of the GAFCON family and standing with you as you proclaim Christ faithfully to the nations. Your faithfulness to Christ is a real witness and an encouragement to many, and we pray that you will experience genuine unity in the Spirit and that you will grow in the number of congregations and influence as part of the extension of God's kingdom.
I am so thankful to the Lord that this convocation is being inaugurated today. I pray that you will experience something not only of being a network of churches, but something of being church together, and that through GAFCON, you will know the fellowship of the worldwide Church of God across the world and down the ages. God bless you.
Hello, I'm speaking from Sydney, Australia. My name's Robert Tong. I've played a very small part in the creation of the Constitution and canons for the Anglican Convocation in Europe. My prayer for you all is that this legal framework will help ACE churches to grow in size and maturity, and that individual church members will be encouraged to reach out to their neighbours with the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you as you start this new venture.
Greetings in Christ's name from the Diocese of the Church of Confessing Anglicans, Aotearoa, New Zealand. We have received such encouragement and support from others within the GAFCON family ourselves, including from Bishop Andy Lyons, that it is a privilege to be able to send greetings to you on this significant occasion. On behalf of Bishop JBN and all in the diocese, I wish to convey to you our love in Christ, our fellowship in the gospel, and our prayers for the commissioning of the Anglican Convocation in Europe. We give thanks to God for this extension of the GAFCON network of global Anglicans, praying that it may bear much fruit for his kingdom. May his blessing be upon you all.
A message from Bishop Keith Sinclair, Church of England, Bishop of Birkenhead. I'm sorry not to be sending you a video greeting, as I'm about to move, retiring as Bishop of Birkenhead, to begin a new role with the Church of England Evangelical Council from the end of April. I thank God for the fellowship shared with Archbishop Fawley Beach and Bishops Charlie Masters and Andy Lyons in recent years, and want to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and assure you of my prayers on this special day. May the Lord enable you so to serve the gospel and the kingdom of God in our day that all the Anglican churches in Europe may grow in faithfulness and fruitfulness in the faith once delivered to the saints, and be a vibrant witness to him. in the power of the Holy Spirit, with love in Christ, Bishop Keith Sinclair.
I am so thankful to God for the formation of the Anglican Convocation in Europe. What a delight to see different churches from different parts of Europe, different churchmanships, and yet united under the Jerusalem Statement and Declaration. We thank God for the bravery, the courage he has given the founding churches to join, and we continue to pray for the Lord's blessing on the future. We long for this to be a wonderful home for Orthodox Anglicans, but not just a home. We will be praying that over the years to come, there'll be many others who will join you, but there'll be many other churches that are planted as you continue to hold on to and hold out the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, I bring greetings to you, Bishop Andy, and to you, clergy and members of the newly informed Anglican Convocation in Europe. It's a great joy to do so. For 3.5 years, we of the Anglican Network in Canada have been blessed to have a special relationship with you, which was temporary and emergency, but for us, it was the delight. And we will always continue to pray, stand with you, and cheer for you as you grow. God bless you.
Queridos hermanos, mi nombre es Enrique Lago, soy el obispo de la diócesis del sur de Chile y quiero aprovechar esta oportunidad para mandarles un muy cariñoso saludo a todos ustedes de parte de sus hermanos aquí en Chile en este momento que no solamente es muy importante para ustedes, sino para todos aquellos que amamos a Jesús y queremos que muchas personas lleguen a conocerlo y a recibir perdón de sus pecados. Que Dios les bendiga, les guarde, que el Señor los llene de pasión por el Evangelio y que los use poderosamente en la extensión de su reino. Un abrazo a todos ustedes en el nombre del Señor. Amén.
Greetings from the GAFCON Secretariat. How exciting it is to see you reach this milestone of launching the Anglican Convocation in Europe today. Our prayer is that God will richly bless your churches as you continue to proclaim the gospel faithfully across Europe. God bless you.
I am Stephen Leung, Area Bishop for Asian and Multicultural Ministries in the Anglican Network in Canada, responsible for raising up multi-ethnic leaders, church planting, and ministry among visible minorities, particularly Asian immigrants in Canada. It is a privilege to be part of the global Anglican realignment with a mission to proclaim the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. I pray that the Anglican Convocation in Europe, under the leadership of Bishop Andy Lines, will provide a spiritual home within historic biblical Anglicanism for the faithful and continue to make disciples of all nations in Europe. I would treasure the opportunity to become partners in the gospel with Bishop Andy and ACE. May God bless you in your mission for Christ. Amen.
Hi, I'm Julian Dobbs of the Anglican Diocese of the Living Word. So thrilled to greet you in our partnership together in this new beginning, although it's an extension, isn't it, as you initiate and commission this convocation. So grateful to God for Bishop Andy, for each one of you, your faithful commitment to Christ and the gospel. We're praying for you, we're standing together with you, and we're expectant to God, for God to do what he says he will do in his word, to build his church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Blessings to you all.
Greetings to you, brothers and sisters, in the Anglican mission in England and the Anglican convocation in Europe. I would like to encourage you. We are greeting you from Southern Africa, Namibia, that is. And we encourage you to contend for the faith once delivered to the saint, the faith which our English reformers died for.
May I welcome
you on mute.
Joined since the earlier greeting. I hope you've been able to enjoy some of those wider greetings from around the Anglican world. Many brothers and sisters who send their greetings at this occasion of the commissioning of the Anglican Convocation in Europe. We are talking of passing the baton, and we give thanks for those faithful Christians in the Anglican Church in North America, and particularly the Anglican Network in Canada, for the way that they have cared for us over these years. And we're going to be thanking God for them, and we're going to be looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us in the coming months and years. Now, we're going to do this in the context of a formal commissioning service with the word preached and with Archbishop Foley Beach, the chairman of the GAFCON Primates Council, who will be starting the commissioning. But we're going to sing to the glory of God, and we're very fortunate to have Greg and those who've been working at New Scottish Hymns to lead us in our singing, and we're going to sing Great Father of Glory to start with. So let's do that.
Great Father of Glory.
Great Father of Glory, how rich is your grace. What wonderful love is displayed in your face. In Jesus, your visible image we view and hope be made in his likeness anew. In Jesus we're chosen, we're washed in his blood, our sins all forgiven. God's sons we appear, and led by the Spirit, we boldly draw near. The world knows us not, but in this we rejoice. To God we're not strangers, but sons of his choice. His love from eternity gave us a home, where now we are longing in safety to come. To seal our God sent from on high, his Spirit through whom Abba Father we cry. And yet with creation we wait eagerly for final adoption and bodies set free. Savior, who paid the great price, he calls us his brothers, we're co-heirs with Christ, we're sons of the Father, he calls us his own, and what we shall be has not yet.
We're now going to acknowledge that we do not deserve God's great glory and goodness directed as it is in Christ towards us. And so we're going to join together in a confession. Together. Most merciful God, We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sin to all those who sincerely repent and with true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are assembled in the presence of God for the purpose of inaugurating this new convocation, the Anglican Convocation in Europe.
O eternal God, mighty in power, of majesty incomprehensible, whom heavens cannot contain, much less the walls of temples made with hands, you have graciously promised your holy presence wherever two or three of your faithful servants gather together in the name of your Son. Be present with us, who now come with humility and gratitude to begin this convocation to the honour of your great name. Amen.
And now prayers for the local congregations. O God, the Holy Spirit, sanctifier of the faithful, sanctify this partnership of congregations by your abiding presence. Bless those who minister in holy things. Enlighten the minds of your people more and more with the light of the everlasting gospel. Bring erring souls to the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. And those who are walking in the way of life, keep steadfast to the end. Give patience to the sick and afflicted, and renew them in body and soul. Guard those who are strong and prosperous from forgetting you. Increase in us your many gifts of grace, and make us all fruitful in good works. This we ask, O blessed Spirit, whom with the Father and the Son we worship and glorify, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the prayer, our prayers, and grant that in the churches of this congregation, the pure word of God may be preached and the sacraments duly administered. Strengthen and confirm the faithful. Protect and guide the children. Visit and relieve the sick. Turn and soften the wicked. Arouse the careless. Recover the fallen. Restore the penitent. Remove all hindrances to the advancement of your truth, and bring us all to be of one heart and mind within your holy church, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I, Foley, by divine grace, chairman of the GAFCON Primates Council, by virtue of the spiritual authority entrusted to me, now therefore recognize this congregation as part of the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church of God.
Archbishop Foley, on behalf of the congregations of the Anglican Convocation in Europe, we present to you Bishop Andrew John Lines, to be instituted as the bishop of this convocation. We believe that he is well qualified and has been prayerfully and lawfully selected.
At their meeting in June 2020, the Primates Council of GAFCON resolved that Bishop Andy Lyons be appointed as the Bishop of the Anglican Network in Europe, encompassing two convocations, the Anglican Mission in England, AMIE, and the Anglican Convocation in Europe, ACE, and that Bishop Lyons be under primatial oversight of whoever is chairman of the Primate's Council for his appoint of accountability.
I, Andrew John Lyons, recognizing the episcopal authority given to you, receive from you this sacred trust, and I promise to be a faithful shepherd to this flock, the Lord being my helper.
Let us pray. Almighty God and most merciful Father, in your infinite love and goodness, you have given your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and the author of everlasting life. After he had made perfect our redemption by his death and resurrection and ascended into heaven, he sent into the whole world his apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers by the Holy Spirit. Through their labor and ministry, he gathered together a great flock to set forth the eternal praise of your holy name. Grant to this your servant, Andy, such grace that he may ever be ready to spread abroad your gospel, the glad tidings of reconciliation with you, and to use the authority given to him, not for destruction, but for salvation, not to hurt, but to help, so that as a wise and faithful steward, he may give to your family their portion in due season, and at the last may be received into everlasting joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, so we're official now. We can all clap. Yay. Oh, what an adventure this has been. We just rejoice and we praise the Lord for his goodness and his faithfulness. And also, we give thanks for you, for your faithfulness, not only Bishop Andy, but all members of this convocation, how you stood for the gospel, for the word of God, for the truth of the gospel, and you've not compromised. So important in the time in which we live. And now the challenge is before you, and that is that Europe, the UK, the Western world needs to be re-evangelized. And hopefully this will be a spark and a seed to do just that, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to every boy and girl, every man and woman in Europe and the UK and throughout the West. So congratulations, Bishop Andy. Thanks for your hard work. And I look forward to seeing what God is going to do, even in our lifetime, through this new ministry. God bless you.
Well, as I'm here, let me give thanks to Archbishop Foley for his commissioning. And we're now moving on to the licensing of the presbyters of the new convocation. And I believe that Sarah Stocks is going to start.
Bishop Andy, on behalf of the congregations of the Anglican Convocation in Europe, we present to you those who will serve us as presbyters of our congregations. We believe that they are well qualified and have been prayerfully and lawfully selected.
I, David William McCarthy, do solemnly make the following declaration. I assent to the faith which is revealed in the Holy Scriptures.
And set forth in the Catholic Creeds, the 39 Articles of Religion, the Book of Common Prayer, and the Ordinal.
I, Ian Ferguson, do swear by Almighty God that I will pay true and canonical obedience to the Bishop of the Anglican Convocation in Europe and his successors in all things lawful and honest, so help me God.
Daniel, I do swear by Almighty God that I will pay tribute and canonical obedience to the Bishop of the Anglican Convocation in Europe
and his successors in all things lawful and honest, so help me God.
I, Philip de Greywater, do solemnly and sincerely declare my assent to be bound by the canons of the Anglican Convocation in Europe, as may be made from time to time, which have force in this convocation.
I, Paul Lutley, recognise the episcopal authority given to you, and receive from you
this sacred trust.
And I promise to be a faithful shepherd to this flock, the Lord being my helper.
Let us pray. Most gracious Father, the giver of all good and perfect gifts, in your wise providence, you appoint leaders for the mission of your church. Give grace to these your servants, to whom the charge of these congregations is now given. So empower them with the truth of sound doctrine and endue them with holiness of life, that they may faithfully serve before you to the glory of your great name and the benefit of your holy church, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing again, accompanied by the new Scottish Hymns Band. We shall all be changed.
We shall all be changed.
There will come a day when all your troubles fly away, in the twinkling of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye. You will hear the trumpets and your body shall be changed, and you'll feel what it means to be alive. And your deaf, bold ears will hear him for the first time, and it's like the sweetest voice you ever knew. And the holes in his hands, will be all you need to know of Jesus' perfect love for you. And we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye we will be changed. And we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, like the lightning in the sky we will be changed. I have heard the gospel of the Savior's love for me, and it cannot be denied, no, it cannot be denied, that Jesus gave his life so helpless sinners could be free, and he rose from the grave and he's alive. Though this frail old flesh is not ready to receive it, yet we know and we believe we're going home. Blood bought bride will arise and see the glory of the Lamb upon his throne. And we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye we will be changed. Yes, we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, like the lightning in the sky we will be changed. There will come a day when all my labor is complete, and it shall not be in vain, no, it shall not be in vain. And I will lay my treasures down before my Savior's feet, and I'll rise up to meet him in the sky. And a voice from the throne will declare that now forever God will live among his people every day, with no more to mourn, as our tears are long forgotten and the former things have all but passed away. And we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye we will be changed. And we shall all be changed like the lightning in the sky, in the twinkling of an eye we will be changed. We shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye we will be changed. Yes, we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, like the lightning in the sky we will be changed. In the twinkling of an eye we will be changed.
Well, we are now going to have our Bible reading, and it will appear in front of us. And Mervyn Wang, who is one of the leaders of the Guildford Holy Word Chinese Church, is going to read for us.
The scripture reading will be the 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to chapter 2, verse 2. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also.
Let's just be quiet before the Lord and pray as we are going to look to this passage that has just been read. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Your Grace, Archbishop Foley, Bishop Andy, presbyters of the Anglican Convocation in Europe, people of this wonderful new development in the body of Christ. It is a great honor and a joy for me to open God's word in this event. This is a historic service of inauguration, of institution, and of licensing. And for us of the Anglican Network in Canada, for a brief time of temporary and emergency care, it has been our joy to have a special relationship with Bishop Andy and Mandy and with many of you. And so it is with a sense of special joy that we think about the passing on of the baton, which is the theme of this service, and is appropriately such a good thing to think about. I have to say, I don't know if you saw the poster that was used to advertise this service, but it's obviously about a relay. And for me, in the Summer Olympics, maybe they're going to happen this summer, I don't know. But if they do, for me, the 4x100 meter relay race is my favorite. And I think the reason it is because in a very short period of time, three times the baton has to be handed on with precision and the handing it to the next person and the grabbing it boldly and then taking off is the thing that makes the difference between winning and losing. And so at a service in which something new is being marked, but is a transition of something that God has been doing through the primatial council of GAFCON over these years. And so it is of great joy to be able to open God's word. And I was invited to choose a passage which would be the one that I would seek to preach from in this occasion. And I chose the verses which have been read so wonderfully just now. Seems to me that 2 Timothy is the obvious passage which is about passing on the baton. It's about a great transition. And more than that, it's not about jurisdictional issues per se, but it is about the gospel being about being passed on. Now, you could say that 2 Timothy is the perfect test case of whether the gospel stands in the midst of complexity and difficulty and overwhelming obstacles, which in another situation could cause despair and giving up. But as you read your way through, and I'm sure you're familiar with 2 Timothy, you find rather than there being despair, even although Paul has every reason to be despairing, he is certain that he's about to be martyred. In fact, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering and the time of my departure has come. That's in chapter 4. He talks about the fact that he's been abandoned by virtually everyone in Asia. And more than that, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. This is not the glory of a successful ministry about to be handed on to another successful would-be protege. This is an apostle in a horrible prison cell, suffering immeasurably, certain that he's heading towards martyrdom, and handing on the baton to his young protege, Timothy, who is in fact leading a church that Paul knows very well, but is at this stage highly dysfunctional. And so even that Paul does not have to cling to. And yet in the midst of this, this is an eloquent and powerful and important statement of the power of the gospel. Now, I don't know how you feel about Europe as you face as the Anglican Convocation in Europe, but I know how I feel about Canada and North America. Seems to me that the obstacles and difficulties of gospel ministry are so immense that it's in many ways reasonable to give up before we got too far in terms of suffering for this. And my sense is that things are just as complicated and just as difficult, if not more difficult, in Europe. And so it is that what I want to do is simply list 7 statements that Paul makes about the gospel, in this situation and in our situation, because what we're called to and has been so eloquently made clear in everything of the service so far, including the greetings that have come from around the world, is that what you, my friends, are called to, as are we in North America, we're called to gospel ministry. And so what about the gospel? What can we say? Statement number 1. The gospel, Paul says, is the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we didn't read this verse, but I'm going to read it now. The first verse of 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. We could stop and spend a long time on these words alone. But the word that I want us to particularly think about is the word, the promise of the life. The gospel is the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. And that's of significance because of who's promising. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 later, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's the nature of the God who promises. And more than that, he's also one who is able to keep his promise. But he's so that in verse 12 that we had read, talking about suffering from the gospel, he says, which is why I suffer as I do, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. We've been entrusted a powerful message, which is the gospel. And it's the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. And he's not only faithful, he's also able to deliver. So when a faithful God promises who's able, you can take that to the bank. It's guaranteed. The gospel is the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Secondly, second statement, the gospel is the testimony about our Lord. Paul says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. What is there in this message that would make a testimony about an individual something which is so hot, so controversial, so difficult that it actually leads to martyrdom and suffering as a prisoner? And an invitation that Paul says that when you understand the gospel as the testimony about our Lord, then you are already committed to suffering for it. The testimony of the Lord is supremely about the cross. So it is that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The cross and the preaching of the cross, the testimony of our Lord, is the only thing that brings life. It's folly, it's foolishness and a stumbling block. It's an offense to reasonable people. It's an offense to religious people. But it is, in God's terms, the only thing that works to life. The gospel is the promise of life in Christ Jesus, and the gospel is the testimony of our Lord. Thirdly, the gospel is a rescue and a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of God's own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus, who saved us and called us, it says in verse 9, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus. This is an amazing thing, that in fact, it's all tied to Jesus. That in a very real sense, we're absolutely only the beneficiaries, but it all falls to him. And in fact, it's something that he gives, but it's a call to holy life in him, according to his purpose and grace, which he gave us. That's thirdly. Fourthly, the gospel was established before the ages began. That's interesting, isn't it? And then worked out or was manifested successfully in real time and space through the appearing of Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Before anything was that was, God already established this life in Christ Jesus, according to his purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. But then he worked it out in real time, in time and space, in the incarnation and in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And so through his sacrifice of death and resurrection to break the power of death and to bring life and immortality to light and to usher those who run to him by faith to be part of this eternal reality, immortality in him. Fifthly, the gospel has objective content. By the Holy Spirit, Paul says, who dwells with us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. He said, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." This is in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. There is content. The content is of the account of the person of Jesus Christ. And it's that message, no additions, no subtractions, which is the gospel, which is to be guarded. Let's face it. The reason you and I are in the situation we're in right here today is because of the call of God to guard the good deposit. Sixthly, the gospel is suited for needy people like me, and I suspect like you. Paul says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And so finally, friends, we get to where the passing on of the baton, we get to this commissioning, we get to this movement, because we discover in chapter 2, verse 2, that the gospel has been made to be passed on. And what you have heard from me, Paul says, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It's always been that way. Paul said, "I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember," he said to Timothy, "your tears, and I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice handed on, and now I am sure dwells in you, handed on again." And now Paul is saying, what you've seen and heard from me in the presence of witnesses, you, Timothy, hand on to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. The gospel's been made to be passed on. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:10, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Dear friends, in the gospel, we have a glorious message, which is all we need for a needy world. No wonder Paul said in Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In every person needs it, and it works in every case when received by faith. Hallelujah. Anglican Convocation in Europe, you've got all you need in the gospel. Let's pray. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you, and particularly in Europe, and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Bishop Charlie, my friend and my boss until hitherto. Thank you very much indeed for bringing us God's word. We're now going to have our first time breaking into small groups. And in each group in which you find yourself, there should be someone who will act as a kind of coordinator, but the purpose is anyway, if you don't get coordinated, is to pray with thanksgiving for the home that we've enjoyed with ANIC and the ACNA and GAFCON, to pray for the congregations of the Anglican Convocation in Europe, and to pray for the 732 million people in Europe, many of whom have no living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So without further ado, we're going to do that, and then we'll come back to sing again before we end the formal part of our meeting. I think we're all coming back gradually. We are now going to sing our final song, led again by the St. Silas Band, for whom we are hugely grateful. Thank you very much indeed, Greg, for yours and others' work putting together the music for this evening. So let's sing together, O Church Arise.
O Church Arise.
church arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain, for now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor, and with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure, and Christ will have the prize for which he died, an inheritance of nations. Come see the cross where love and mercy meet, as the Son of God is stricken. Then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rolled away and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day every eye and heart shall see him. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of his grace, we hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. We hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory.
And now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working in you that which is well-pleasing according to his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Archbishop Foley and Bishop Charlie. Thank you very much indeed for being with us. A few other thanks. And actually, there's going to be one further greeting that comes in a moment. As well as just to tell you that this is being recorded, so those who've missed it will be able to catch up on it. So thank you to those who've participated. Thank you for those who sent greetings. Thank you to the St. Silas Band. Thank you to Jack, Ali and Robbie, who put together and hosted this evening. Thank you to Philip, who put together with the help of the ACNA Book of Common Prayer, the service for this evening. And thank you all for joining us. There's going to be one further greeting in a second from Stephen Hoffmeyer from the Church of England Evangelical Council. And then for those who are able to, until 9 o'clock, we'll split into groups and it'll be a much more informal chance to get to know each other a bit better. I realize that some of you have to go either to bed or to get up or to do other things in different parts of the world. So if you have to, thank you for being with us. And Jack, I'll leave us for now for Stephen Hoffmeyer.
Good evening. Greetings from Guildford, England.
My thoughts and prayers are with you this evening as a new chapter is opened, which will enable Anglicans in Europe further and afresh faithfully to proclaim Christ to the nations. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May God help us to be faithful.